Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
All right, part two. So the quick review, the five-minute overview for those who did not hear last week, was a series of questions. We'll go through them very, very quickly just to get ourselves back into the mode. The Rosh Hashanah is described in Nisan and Tokef using the famous tefillah that we do from Musaf. Kihunora v'oyom. The day is awesome. The day is awe-inspiring. It's frightening. And we asked what aspect, what element of Rosh Hashanah would create awe, fear, this concept of an awesomeness of the day. And we all agree that would be the concept of din, the concept of judgment. That being judged by the King of Kings is what would create the element of being Nora v'oyom. And question number one that we raise is, well, then why is it that the fact of it being a Yom HaDin is not mentioned in the Torah at all? The Torah does not define the day in any way as a day of judgment. It's only defined as the day of the shofar blowing, and that's really it. So why specifically do we leave that part out? Number two, we asked, this concept of din is interesting, because if we would ask the question, do we think this is a Jewish holiday, generally we would think, of course it is, Rosh Hashanah, we're the only ones who celebrate it, so you would think that the judgment would therefore be on or for the Jews. Yet we find this awesomeness, this concept of judgment, not only does it extend beyond Jews to non-Jews, it even extends to animals and it extends to angels. The liturgy of Rosh Hashanah makes it clear that everyone and everything is being judged, and that creates a weird... being judged for what? How do you judge something which has no free will? How do you judge an angel or an animal? Why do you judge an animal or an angel? So this concept of Yom HaDin needs to be understood in terms of the elements that it has. Number three, I'm losing count of my questions, but number three is this concept of, well then why should it be a Yontif? Why should it be a Chag? Why should we celebrate if indeed we have this awesome, frightening element of judgment that expands and extends to the entire universe? So it's a strange feeling to have a Yontif. We mentioned last week, Yom Kippur's easy, Yom Kippur, you focus. It's austere the whole day. But Rosh Hashanah, you go after Friday, after the nighttime, davening, which you're all revved up for Rosh Hashanah, and then you go home and you have a meal, and it's fun and games, and it's simanim, and everybody's passing around the different things, and it's jovial, and it's sweet, and there's honey dripping all over the place, and singing songs, and dipping the apples, and it's hard, but it's a Yontif. And he asks, so it's, why do we have this concept of a Yontif when you have all of this judgment? And then he said, but if it's a Yontif, then let me deal with it as a Yontif. But Chazal say, you can't sing Shira, you can't have Hallel, you can't have a full-fledged Yontif, because it's a day of judgment. The book of life and the book of death is open. How do you have... So which one is it? You don't let me fully express myself as a Chag, but you don't let me express myself as Yom Kippur. So I have to eat, I have to be happy, I have to make it into a Chag, but just don't overdo it. Because in the background, there's this looming book of life and book of death that's open in front of you always. So while you're singing your songs about dipping apples and honey and having a sweet new year, don't forget about that book of life and death that's open. But celebrate, but just not too much. Just a confusing, complex day. Those are all the questions that he asked. We probably missed maybe one, but that basically is what we adjusted.
The Gemara that talks about Yom HaDin.
The Gemara talks about it.
About
sure. That's the Gemara. The Sifrei Chaim and Sifrei Meisim are judged on Rosh Hashanah. Sure, that's where it comes from, because it doesn't come out of the Torah. It all comes from our Torah Sheba'al Peh through the Gemara. So we began his answer. It's on page 2. We began his answer. We'll fully develop that through Hashem this evening. So in Os Beis, there on page 2, we began Reishis Nevo'er Inyan Itzumo Shel Yom. We have to understand the essence of this day. And what he pointed out, we'll just read that one line in the end of the third line from the bottom, is that the focus of the day does not talk at all about judgment. When Chazal established our Machzor, they did not talk about that concept. We don't talk about being judged except for the Nisan HaTokef Tefillah, which is really an exception, and a later added the Shmona Esrays, which is really the heart and soul of the day. The Shachar Shmona Esrei, the Musaf Shmona Esrei, does not mention the concept of the judgment. Hinei b'chol tefilos Rosh Hashanah loy mishtakef lo muvlot klal. It does not appear, it does not express itself at all about the day of judgment. Elokulam soivivim al inyan hachtaras malchuso yisbaruch shemo al kol habriya. All that we talk about is crowning Hashem as king over the entire kingdom. This is an idea which I'm hoping you're familiar with because it should be spoken about every year. Kol habakashos heima uvechein yiskade shimcha. All of our requests on Rosh Hashanah are a surrounding the idea your great name should be recognized by everyone. Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu al kol maaseach. Your fear should be instilled upon everyone. V'simloich atahu Hashem Elokeinu mehero levadcha kol maaseach. Quickly, may your malchus be recognized. If you just pay attention to the tefillos, we don't say, please have compassion on us and judge us favorably. We say, please let the whole world recognize how great you are, recognize your malchus, your kingship, and your dominion over the entire world. That is the focus of the day. And then in the next paragraph, he described the idea that this Hasidish Kabbalistic idea that the world goes around
helix?
Yes, kind of circular
orbit.
Yes. So as we come back, the idea of Zehayom Tchilas Ma'asecha Zikaron Leom Rishon. The phrase from the Machzor, this is the day of the beginning of your handiwork. This is the day that you began the creation of the world, a remembrance of that first day. And as the Arizal, he quotes, said that every year the world like returns, so to speak, to its original place, and we're back to that place of original creation. This is the spiritual energy of Rosh Hashanah is recreating the world, and we're living through that concept. Okay, that's what we got up to. That was our quick six minute review of everything that we did last week, and that leaves us with what he's going to take this idea of the fact that this is the day that we relive, we spiritually get back into that place of creation, and how this is going to one by one explain all of the original questions that we asked. Let's start with the paragraph beginning with that Rosh Tevos Ulefiza, the last paragraph on the second column of page 2. Ulefize mevuar inyan amishpat vahadin v'Rosh Hashanah. This explains the concept of the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, that even though the Torah doesn't say you're being judged, but if you understand what happens on this day, how it's a natural flow that there must be a judgment. Since this is the day that is the birthday, so to speak, the literal birthday of the world, Piresh Shehu Yom Chidush Habriya, that it was on this day that the world was brought into existence. Al Karchach Ya'amid B'Mishpat Kol Yitzurei Olamim. Therefore, or it has to be, that everybody now stands in judgment. Now, I read that really quickly, but what he did there is he actually gave an interpretation of a line in the Machzor. In the Machzor, after we blow the shofar, so there are a couple, there are two paragraphs that we say as a tzibur together. One of them reads, Hayom Haras Olam, Hayom Ya'amid Ba'Mishpat. Just those two phrases. Today is the birthday of the world, today we stand in judgment. What he's doing in here is he inserted a phrase into that phrase, which you'll pay attention to as we go through the shofar blowings this year. Not just two independent phrases, today is the birthday of the world, today we stand in judgment, but because today is the birthday of the world, therefore it must be that we stand in judgment. That it has to flow from the fact that today is the birthday, therefore, of course, we must be judged. And he explains as follows, Yeshdiyun Lamala, there is a judgment, there's a discussion going on, so to speak, up in Shemayim. In this Male Al Yodam, if through us who have been created, have we fulfilled Hayyud Vahamatara Shiyaid Habaris Bakshamobriasolam? Did we fulfill the purpose, the goal, the objective of creation that he created it for? Like someone who creates any particular business, industry, you look at it every once in a while and you say, is this working? You have a yearly review. What's the point of the yearly review? I have a mission. I have a goal. Am I meeting my goals? Are my employees doing what it is that I hired them to do? Al pisodo sabriya hayudume lovis baruch shemo. What criteria? That he says we don't know. There are the sodo sabriya, the mysteries of the world, which is the reasons why Hashem created, which has been as revealed to us as it's been revealed to us. But based on those criteria, so since this is the day that I created the world, today I stand as the king, so I look and I see, how we doing? How is this? Is this furthering my objective in creating the world, or is this not furthering my objective in creating the world? V'hoim hatov shebaolam misgaber al hara, is the forces of good overtaking, so to speak, dominating the evil in the world? Uchas v'shalom lehepach, or is it, heaven forbid, the opposite, that the forces of evil overtake the forces of good? Shahakol misnaheg neged hakavana helyona, in that circumstance in which those forces of evil are manifest, so then the world is working in the opposite of the original intention. Sha'az ein sorech bo. Well, if that's the case, then there's a heavy, heavy response. If I created the world for a certain purpose, if you're a business owner and you created the business, or you're an inventor and you created something for a very specific purpose, and it doesn't do that purpose, what do I need it for? There's only one reason why this exists, and it's not fulfilling it anymore. I don't have a need for you, being that you only are here for this purpose.
It's a judgment on the whole.
Oh, we're getting there. Listen, I was about to say, express this in this new beautiful way. Therefore, he says the following idea. This is going to be, I found this very, it's a little nuanced, but it's a very powerful way of going through the day, which is really what this, learning the Sefer is about. It's trying to give us an insight. Again, it's a little nuanced, but it's very powerful. The Omek HaDin Hazeh, the depth of the judgment. Let's really set up. I think hopefully we'll be clarifying. If I were to ask you, what are we being judged on? What's the judgment of Rosh Hashanah? So I think the gut response is, well, how did I do? Did I keep Shabbos? Did I not keep Shabbos? Did I keep kosher? Did I not keep kosher? It's a judgment on, here are the 613. Did I do the 613? Did I not do the 613? How well did I do the 613? That's our, I think, an initial gut response. I'm being judged. So I'm being judged on, you know, here was a list of things I was, my do's and my don'ts. How did I do?
We went to school and that's how we were judged.
Correct. Right? Here's my test. Did I get the answers right? Did I get the answers wrong? Says the Slonim Rebbe, the Omek Hadin, the depth of judgment, is different than that. It's deeper than that. Omek Hadin is a bevadai shayach biyachas l'chol ayitzurim, because the depth of judgment is therefore really appropriate to all of creation. Afilu elu she'in lehem b'chira, even to those items that don't have free will. Ha'im nigrama al yodam his karvus, did those items that have no bechira, the animals, the angels, through them, did the world come closer, lahakavana ha'elyona, to the intention of why we were created? Olo. That's the Omek HaDin. So that we're not being judged on a specific 365 don'ts and 248 do's. Did you do the check? We go through all of the 365. Yes, no, yes, no, and it's a judgment. That's, I don't want to use the word childish way of looking at it. It's a less sophisticated, I think the Slonim Rebbe would say, less accurate way of what the judgment is. The judgment is, did you bring the world closer to its purpose of being created or not? It's not quite a yes or no question, but it sort of is. It's a different question. It's not, did you keep Shabbos according to all the diktukah, all the details of Shabbos? Did you keep kashrus? That's Yom Kippur. We're going to get to that. You have 10 days in which that full judgment. Rosh Hashanah is, did you further my purpose? Did you distance my purpose? Where are you on that? Obviously, most of the criteria of that is in those 613. There's no question about it. But it's larger than that. It's a deeper question. It's a bigger question than just, did you do this and did you do that, which is an element of justice and judgment. But this judgment is, do I need you because I have a purpose in creation? Where do you fit in this? Are you furthering the purpose of creation or not? That question extends, it's no longer bechira, it's no longer free will, because I'm not judging you on how did you choose this or that. Do I still need you? A businessman would look at his entire office and he would say, do I still need this computer or not? So you say, why are you judging the computer? What did it do wrong? It doesn't have bechira, it doesn't have free will. So you say, fool, I'm not judging the computer if it's good or bad. I'm judging the computer if it furthers my mission. Do I need to? It's taking up space. If I'm paying for a phone service, am I getting the benefit of it? That's a very different type of judgment. I'm not judging my employee. Did you come on time? I judge everything in my office. I look at every detail of my business and I say, do I still need you? Are you helping me? Because if you're not, I want to shed you and bring in someone who's going to do better.
So Rabbi, is this less about our individual merits and more about our communal, our overall purpose in furthering Hashem's role?
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know. It's probably both. In other words, he's shifting the way that we think about the judgment of Rosh Hashanah. And that's, but this, what he's answering, and I'm jumping a little bit ahead, he's going to get to this obviously in just a few lines, why we don't focus on our individual lives on Rosh Hashanah at all. We don't say, I'm going to try better, we don't say that. We just say, I want to recognize you as a king. And then what else do we say? Not just me, I want everyone to. And you can't on Rosh Hashanah say, I want you to be king, and not follow that up with, and I want everyone to be king, and think that you're doing a good job in Rosh Hashanah. That's what Chazal are giving us. Because if you really want to say, my role in the creation of the world, I want to play my role, so then how can you say, I want to play my role in the fulfillment of the creation of the world, but I really don't care about if anybody else does? Then you don't care. Because you're talking about the purpose of the creation. I want to play my role. And I have to therefore care that you play your role.
So you're a team player.
Correct. You cannot be Berov Am Hadras Melech. You cannot have a Melech without the whole Kin Kamunu coming along with it. And therefore Chazal gave us every tefillah of Rosh Hashanah is not just I. It's always Meloch al kol ha'olam. I need you to be king over everything. Because this is the employee, going back to my mashal, in a business saying to his owner, no, I really want this business to succeed. But I don't care if the guy in the cubicle next to me fails and falls on his face. I just want to be really good at helping you. That's ridiculous. If you really want to be good at helping me, then you want the guy in the cubicle next to you to be doing really good, and you want the guy in the mailroom to be really good, and you want the cafeteria to function, because you want the business to work. So of course you want your role to be good, but if you dare say, I just want you to know, boss, I'm really doing great, but you should just know a couple of doors down, you know, they're not so good, and I don't really care about that, as long as I'm doing well. Or if he even picks up it in your mind, you don't care about that, you just want to be doing really well, then you're really not on the team. You're not on the team. And therefore, that's the nature. That's why the judgment is on everything, because it's not a judgment of, did you do this or did you do that? It's, I'm looking at every piece of my industry to see if it's in the right place, if I have the best parts, and if it's functional, and if I still need it. And therefore I look at my animals, I look at my angels, I look at my non-Jews, I look at my Jews, and the way that I'm looking at, are you furthering or hindering the fulfillment of the purpose of creation? Yeah.
It sounds much less like judgment in the sense that we understand it on Yom Kippur.
That's correct.
Than it does an audit or an evaluation.
That's exactly what he's saying.
And in which case it doesn't seem to have that same sort of awesomeness.
Well, what if you're not needed?
Yeah. Well, but if it's not about Bechira in this particular day, it's not about Bechira, what can I do about it?
Well, when he's looking at you, he's looking at your role as a Jew. Where are you on this? And so for us, it's clearly about Bechira. But what he's changing, and this is a little bit that's nuanced, is because the way that he's looking at you and me is, are you fulfilling your role? But because that's the question, then that question also applies to the animal world and to the angelic world and to the non-Jewish world in the same way. If it was just a question of, did you fulfill the 613, And that's an issue of your free will. That's the only question I'm looking at. Then why would I ask the question about the animals? There's no question to be asked.
Right.
That question is going to be dealt with on days 3 through 10 of the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah, leading up to Yom Kippur. That's when it's signed and sealed. The question that's asked on Rosh Hashanah is, where are, and that's, so that, how are you fulfilling or moving the world closer to its purpose? And that's a question that's asked about everything. Yeah.
But don't you have to know where you're going? How do you know?
Correct. So that's why, what do we focus on? That's exactly right.
Claiming Hashem the King.
That's exactly right. So in other words, so that's why.
That's all we can do.
That's in other words, what Chazal have revealed to us is, what, so if someone were to ask you, why did God create the world? Chazal's answer for Rosh Hashanah Machzor is to recognize Him as a Melech al kol olam kulo v'chudo. That's exactly the answer to that question. Which I can show the Ramban writes that explicitly. That is Hakol, the last mission of Pirkei Avos. I'm sure there's a sinner. Some of the last mission of Pirkei Avos is everything, quoting the pasuk in, I think, Sefer Yishayahu, everything that Hashem has created, everything, He created it only for His honor and for His glory. Why did he create this world? He could have just created angels who recognized His greatness. Why did He need people like us in this dark world with so much evil, so much pain, so much suffering? Why? Why does He need this for? What does He need it for? So that's a very deep, dark, deep, perplexing question. And I don't mean to make light of it, but you could ask it in a simple way. Like, if He could have just created beautiful angels who would have listened to everything that He said, so then great, do that. He created lowly mankind with all of our desires and all of our failings and all of our foolishness and all of our petty fights over narishkeit. Why?
Ask our kids that.
Koma Shevara Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is the last mission, Pirkei Avos. Everything that Hashem created in His world, He created it solely for His glory. As it says, He quotes the pasuk from Shmos, all that is called by My name, indeed it is for My glory that I have created it, formed it. And I'm sorry, that's from Yishayahu, as I mentioned, and then from Shmos, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. It's so that, and it's one of my rebbeim in the Kibbutz Kirmi Avim, the Rav Savi used to always say, I'm sure he's many others, but I always hear it always from him. And the son of Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldberg, my Rav Shashiv from Kirmi Avim, He created us so that even from mankind, with all of our lowliness and our pettiness and our jealousies and our dark secrets and our desires, that too can declare God's glory. Because He had His glory from everything else. The only thing that He didn't yet have was someone like us to recognize His glory also.
What does God need this for?
Because
this is anthropomorphizing Hashem in a way.
No,
that's it.
In other words, that we're the only thing. In other words, everything else naturally declares His glory, but His glory is such that it needs to be declared even from those who don't see it, so that it becomes a the role that we fill is even where it's hard and it's dark and it's difficult, that we too can recognize it.
And that's why He gave us free will.
Correct. So that we can fill that niche.
So we could come to that place.
That even in this world we also recognize, like the angels. That we could say that's the power of Kedusha. That Nikadesha Shimcha Ba'olam, that your name should be sanctified in this world. Keshem Shemakdishim Oso B'Shmei Merom, in the same way that it's sanctified in the upper realms, that who say, V'kara Zel Zevi Omar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Do you hear these words? That we, in this world, with all of our blind spots, and all of our drives, and all of our desires, and all of our pettiness, say the same thing that they say in Shemayim. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So only we can do that. Because the animals can't do that, because they declare God's glory just by, you know, grazing on the grass. The angels declare His glory because they see it. And we can declare that glory from our place of earthliness that we occupy, and only we can do that from that place of earthliness. And so in Rosh Hashanah, that's all we do. That's all we do, is we say, we see it, we recognize it, we want everyone to recognize it. And the judgment is, well, the reason I created this world was for human beings to recognize. How is this world doing? Is this world bringing that element of glory that only an Olam Hazeh, only a finite world can bring me? Or is it not helping that cause? I have it from everything else. Yeah, you're...
If what Rugova was saying is true, wouldn't that seem to imply that God had to create us? And we know God doesn't have to do anything.
Okay, in the same, I'm not sure exactly how I would answer that philosophically, but in the same way that he would have had to have created, I don't know how to say "had to." In other words, I hear what you're asking in the sense of being that had he not created us, there would have been an element of his kavod not recognized because there wouldn't have been a human being to do so. So there would be, so to speak, something lacking, so to speak, in God's glory, and therefore he had to create us, and therefore only through us do we complete that. That is a philosophical question. It's a good one in terms of how you work that out. It's a similar philosophical question to the way that Derech Hashem writes that the nature of goodness is to bestow kindness. It's like as if he has to, almost, but you can't say that either. But it's a fair question. But yes, on a simple level, without getting into the philosophy of it, we complete the puzzle piece in a way that only we can. If mankind fails, again, whatever this means, there's a dent in the crown of God's glory, because all the other aspects of the universe are declaring kadosh, kadosh, kadosh in their way, and there's one element of that element of creation that has the option of doing so or not doing so, and they're not, so there's a jewel missing, there's a dent in the crown. And again, however you want to philosophically address that, really, that means that I thought, if God is perfect, how can that be? Well, honor can only be bestowed upon by someone else, and that's the role that we have, which is why it's a significant role. It is a much deeper, perplexing philosophical question than I'm equipped to deal with, but that's right. That's the right way to ask it, and that's the way that the Sfarim describe what it is that we're doing. Only we can give that glory by openly choosing to recognize. Yeah.
Why? I guess it's maybe a simple question, but why does Hashem want our glory or need our glory?
So
and that seems, in general, like a lot of davening is praising Hashem and blessing.
So
Him.
So again, I'm not a philosophy major, or an expert in philosophy. I'm going to try to address this as best I understand it. It's simply a reality of the nature of the greatness of God is recognized as He is, and if human beings would not recognize Him. So there is, again, as much as we can say this, something lacking, because there was an element that didn't recognize that glory. There's an element of the world that is not recognizing who it is. So it's a hard thing to say, does God need that? Those are not words that flow.
Right, need.
He doesn't need it. It is just intrinsic to the glory of the King is missing when it's not when it's not recognized by all.
You can say the creation is needed. Creation needs it. The
Does that get
created?
It does, and that gets into what I was saying. But does that mean that God needed to create the world in order to create this element? Just to get again, I don't know if I'm doing this appropriately in terms of from a philosophical perspective. But if you were to have a father with 10 children, so if any one of those children would say, my father's really nothing special, and I don't need him, and not give him any honor or kavod, so that's, there's something lacking in the home,
right,
because
the whole
of
home
that.
Is not.
So, but what happens here was, it was that each one of the 10 children have a very different trait, and so the full honor of the father is when each of the different traits, each one of the children who developed in their own way, became something totally different, and from where they are, all recognize the greatness of their father. So
all for their benefit. That's what's missing from this conversation is that God is good. Is only somewhere it says God is only good. That He's all good, and everything that happens is gemzlato. Must be that the best thing we can do for ourselves and for mankind, right, is, in order for us to get as close to Him as possible, is to proclaim Him a king over everything, Melech over everything.
That's also
can't be
true.
Can't be for his good.
So this is where it's a philosophical difficulty that I'm not.
But in Rosh Hashanah, it's a very, like you said, it's the main part of the davening is declaring his kingship.
Yeah, and that's where it's tricky. In other words, as the Mishnah is, everything that was created was for his glory. So the role that we're fulfilling is fulfilling that glory, giving him that glory, declaring that glory. It's just it's a hard thing to say the words. Therefore, he needs it. But again, just going back to my mashal for a second, you know, let's say you have the father with the 10 kids, right? And let's say what he did is, so he has one kid who's a doctor, and who's a lawyer, and who's a psychologist, and who's a farmer, and who's a scientist, all these different fields, and with all their expertise, they say, but you know what? My father is really the greatest guy with the greatest understanding. So it adds glory that even though scientists recognizes that, and the psychologist recognizes that, and the doctor recognizes that, and the lawyer, each with their training and expertise, yet they all turn to their father and say, he gives the best advice. That's impressive that the lawyers and the doctor both says that, and the farmer, they all turn to him. What if the doctor would have had one less child and didn't have a farmer? So that the lawyer and the doctor and the scientist and the psychologist and the businessman all said dad gives the best advice, but he never had a son who was a farmer. So this...
Something's missing.
I want even that field to say that I give the best advice. I just didn't have that. But I don't have a son who's a farmer. I know, but if you would, then your glory would be expanded, because now there'd be another element of a whole new different field of expertise who also recognize that you give the best advice. So what the Sfarim are trying to explain is, out of the whole universe, they're all screaming Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh.
Oh, so it's all different parts of the universe. There's 10 children.
Correct, but there's still an element that also needs to do that, and that's us. Those who have the free will to recognize it, those who have the struggles that we do. And so if we don't, it's simply missing from the father sitting up there and saying, they all recognize that I give the best advice. Even the person who thinks he can do it himself, that's us. Even the human being who thinks he doesn't need me. And so therefore that's the element of glory that we give. And the judgment of Rosh Hashanah, getting back to his main point here, is not on, did you keep Shabbos this way or that way? Judgment is, where do you fit in that role? Just like I look at the animal kingdom, just like I look at the angels, where did you fit? Have you moved the world closer to its purpose through your existence this year? Or were you a hindrance to the world moving closer to its purpose? Okay, a few minutes left. Let's read a little bit more. And he brings Kemoshe Matzina Bedora Mabel, in the same way as we find from the generation of the flood, Shenimcha Kol Hayikum, that the entire existence was wiped out. Gam Elu Shein Lehem Bechira, even the animal world that didn't have free will, because the world was judged not to be moving closer to the purpose of creation. And since the world as a whole was not moving towards the purpose of creation, the world as a whole was destroyed, and we began again. Even the ground itself, as he quotes from Chazal. The last four lines goes to the pasuk that we just quoted. As the pasuk says, "Kol anikra b'shmi," everything that's called in my name, "ulichvodi b'rasu," was for my glory. It was created. Yitzartiv afasiziv, I formed it, even made it. The alkein behitzchatshus abriya. Therefore, on this day that the world is, so to speak, renewed, we spiritually relive the creation of the world. Yesh din, there's a judgment, a discussion. Im nitzrach haprat hazeh, do we need this detail? Gam l'shana hachadash, for this new world, for this new year. Same way again, as a business owner goes through, is our phone service the right phone service? Is our computer server the one that we need? Every element is looked at, so too every detail in creation. Im mile es yudo v'tapkido, is it fulfilling its purpose and its goal? Or is it extra and there is no need for it? Last little bit of the paragraph on top of page 3. Therefore, it's on all walks of life. On all things, to no end, everything. It's a phrase from the Master. Who is not remembered on this day? Everyone, everything. Even on the hosts in heaven, the angels as well. Shegam heim b'chal habriya, they're included within the concept of creation. Vinidonin im heim nichutzin l'mataroha elyona oshi yisbatel. Therefore, they're judged. Do we still need them for our goal, or are they no longer necessary? Amnon ba'ofen miyuchad hadin hu al bali b'chir. This gets back to what you're saying, Scott, but it's specific, really intent on those with free will. And this, so it's true, the whole world is looked upon, but those with free will, all the more so are we viewed, kevan shehem nishma sabriya, because we are the soul of all of creation. So it's true that the animal kingdom has its place, it's true that the angels have their place, it's true that the inanimate objects have their place. What's the soul, the element, the heart and soul of all of creation? That's us. It's people with free will, and amongst the people with free will, it's the Jewish people amongst all of them. We have the ability to change the calculation through our tshuva, and accepting them upon ourselves to fulfill our roles, the yudom, and our purpose from here on out. And through that, our gzardin will be changed for good, because Hashem the Orech Din is bochen levoros biyom din. Okay, that's our starting point of our answer, that the nuance switch, and is the main thing that I leave you with as we conclude for tonight, is the judgment is not our normal judgment that we would think, going through the 365 no's and the 248 yes. The judgment is a deeper one of, are you moving the world towards its completion, towards its purpose and fulfillment, and that's the judgment that everyone goes through, and that will explain, first of all, why is it today in the Torah to mention it? Because since this is the day that the world was recreated, it's the day we look to see how it's doing, and then all of the answers Rosh Hashem will see next week. Some of the other questions that he asked will flow from here as to how we experience this day. Okay.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.